This is My Village Experience. I'm your host, Mesa Saw. Welcome.
Hello, villagers. Today we have Brian Tom, and he's going to tell us a lot. So get ready for that. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely amazing.
And thank you very much, man. I really appreciate you coming all this way.
No doubt. It's 9:30 at night, and that's when I usually finish work.
Exactly.
Yeah, I finished early, so it's hard to make through this spot right here with a man.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
Always looking out.
All right. So right from the top, what are your three essentials?
Man, you know what's funny, too? You even told me what these questions are.
Yeah.
Don't remember them.
Exactly.
I guess, and then, you know what? If I think about three essentials, for me, it's family, friends.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, does it have to be physical, or does it have to be something?
It can be anything, basically.
Oh, man. Family, friends, and happiness. But happiness mm-hmm. has a lot of definition behind
exactly.
it. So I would say friends and family mm-hmm. and dance.
Probably. That's what I was expecting, probably.
Those are the three.
And what about family? There's something probably that came in your mind when you mentioned family.
Well, they're your roots.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest, I would say it all the time just because there are times that I don't put actions towards mm-hmm. those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I do things for my family mm-hmm. and I look back at my work and my hustle and mm-hmm. my grind and I reflect, is it really for them?
Mm-hmm.
Am I end up neglecting them?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There are times that I believe that I get sidetracked
mm-hmm.
and I do neglect them,
mm-hmm.
which is very rude of me and very, very poor of me as a person because
mm-hmm.
I always believe that the grind always have a purpose for them.
Absolutely.
But all this time I was being a little bit more selfish than I thought that mm-hmm. I've been doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try to reconnect with my family, I can't
mm-hmm.
because I was never there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the heart, like, even though they were always there, mm-hmm. I never gave them the chance to get to know me exactly me.
For who you were.
Because mm-hmm. I just never expressed it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the hardest times came to my life, I opened up for the first time
mm-hmm.
not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
This has been recent. And honestly, they have built me up again and
absolutely.
Again and again.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I understood that at a very young age, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't.
And I guess that's where your friends jump in?
My friends were mm-hmm. the support first.
Absolutely.
But the friends came in different levels of support.
Mm-hmm.
It's both good and both bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So I learned to appreciate the right friends,
mm-hmm.
and I loosely use the word friends,
mm-hmm.
and then there's close friends.
Exactly, of
yeah,
course.
And those close friends are the most important to
mm-hmm.
your life. So
absolutely.
So by having the family being your roots, who you can trust all the time, and
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how I concluded
yeah.
to that. And then I have friends who are always there, but they can come and go, whatever the situation may be.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be your second arm to help
absolutely.
You lift up
absolutely.
When you fall. So that's why I think family and friends is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The dance, we're going to get back to that at
of
some
course.
Point because it's a whole, it's a huge part of this.
Yeah.
Something else, where are you from? What is your background?
My ethnic background is Vietnamese.
Okay.
Of course, we run Chinatown.
Okay.
Somerset.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as a joke, you guys, yeah, I guess my mm-hmm. friends in Chinatown are going to be
mm-hmm.
so pissed, but it's all a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm Vietnamese,
mm-hmm.
Canadian,
mm-hmm.
but I'm born Canadian. I was
okay.
born and raised here in Canada.
Okay.
I am very culturally confused.
Mm-hmm. Where exactly? In Ottawa? If I understood, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I always, for the longest time, thought I was in Toronto because we always go to Toronto all the time.
Okay, okay.
But I learned the truth that I'm from Ottawa.
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
How is that that you say that you learned the truth that you're from Ottawa?
Well, it's more like... It's more
is it
like,
because you spent much more time
I remember, I remember like going to Toronto often.
Okay,
right?
okay.
And I always like to kind of show off. Like, yeah, I'm from Toronto. from Toronto.
Absolutely.
People know it better. And then,
because it's cooler.
It's cooler when I was a kid. But
absolutely.
Like, but then, like, reality is, it's like, yo, let's be honest, you're from Ottawa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. You're from the capital.
Yeah, from the capital.
It's not that cool, but yeah. Still, it's a capital.
Well, over time, I decided to make it cool.
Exactly. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you're actually one of the people that around town that I saw actually that lifted Ottawa, that the name Ottawa,
oh,
like, man. It gives you, like, when you mention, like, Brian and you mention Ottawa at the same time, it feels cool.
Oh,
seriously,
man.
Anytime that people talk about dance, even at the Blues Fest, and we're gonna get back to that, like, I felt that people would be like, oh, Ottawa is cool, people dance there now and stuff like that.
Yes.
Because it seems that all those stuff didn't happen in here.
I just have a loud mouth.
That's which is great.
I have a loud mouth. It's like, on my upbringing, I realized recently, I don't know why it took me this long to realize a lot of things, but like recently I was raised and nurtured and educated by Italians. So growing up, I was learning from Italians. I was surrounded in an Italian neighborhood.
Wow.
And my when I go to church, it's an Italian.
Yeah, it's like on Somerset and
exactly
in Preston.
So that's it. So I had no idea what that was growing up. I just thought they were just simply people.
Exactly.
But looking back, it's like, no, they were culturally Italian.
So yes.
That's why you're loud and my mouth is running all the time.
And family is too a big thing, like, with them too.
Absolutely,
culturally, they're always surrounding.
I wish I learned that earlier, but I learned to appreciate it a lot more now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So what did you want to become growing up?
The most, I say, wholesome, complete self, peace of mind, a good, strong peace of mind, and it's just someone who is a lot less chaotic that I am right now. Yeah, so I guess the better version of myself every single day. So to answer that question, it's who I am today, but continuously building upon that.
Absolutely.
To my most ideal self.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's the
which
best
is
answer.
Great. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I see myself in that answer because I feel that as human beings, we need to improve every single day because we are not like animals. We need. That's why we have all these new tools and stuff that we keep like growing as a species, basically. So what about dancing? How did it come to be? What get you? What inspired you?
It was family.
Okay.
It was simply family. I just hear music and I was just moving around, really.
Mm-hmm.
So my family, in the Vietnamese culture, cha-cha-cha, rumba, ballroom dancing is very famous.
Okay.
If you can hear it through our cultural music and pop music, like, it's very cha-cha-cha, rumba. So everyone knew how to dance that style, but growing up, I didn't know what that was. I just saw movement. So when I started to mimic, everyone's cheering me on. It's like, oh, he's dancing.
Yeah.
Well, that started it.
Okay.
And that became every time there's a music going on, there's me dancing or moving around.
And I saw, I think it was in one of the articles that I read about you saying Michael Jackson. You mentioned Michael Jackson.
Exactly,
I saw myself.
That was definitely the start. So that's what had happened. So what happens that I was just moving around dancing to like young hipster music, hippie music.
All the pop music going around.
No, I don't even know what pop music. I just heard sounds. So
yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah.
So when I'm in Chinatown, I think it was a door. This is getting real hood. It was a door salesman, if I remember, who had a briefcase. I don't know what was the story on that one. Opened the briefcase, there were either toys, VHS, which is like old tapes. So old tapes, and I had to choose something out of it, and this is from a memory, and I remember there was a Alvin and Chipmunks movie, and I chose that, didn't know what it was, popped it in the VCR, and it was the Alvin and the Chipmunks featuring Michael Jackson.
Wow.
And that was my first introduction to seeing Michael Jackson with the red jacket, and he was singing Beat It.
Okay.
And yeah. And I didn't know what that was, and my mom was like, "That's Michael Jackson. You should really follow him. You should dance like him." I was like, "What's that?"
Exactly.
And I watched that tape religiously to the end, and I learned what Michael Jackson did, and I heard Billie Jane, and yeah, then yeah. I started learning those moves.
Yeah, exactly. And Michael Jackson at the time, like, he was everywhere with the dance. He was something new, I feel like.
I was definitely in 92, 93. Yeah, era. Yeah, yeah. That was when I started picking it up, yeah.
Wow.
That was the story. Yeah,
so what in between, like, led you to professional dancing? Because, you know, it was cute, let's say. It was beautiful and everything. But going from, like, loving it or liking it just to... So, you know, being professional about it and, you know, even teaching people about it.
It's a long...
It's a really long way. Yeah,
it's a long one, but I can summarize that. I've been telling the same story for a while, and I feel it's going to be a good time to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't start professional until I was 25, 24, it's a blur.
Mm-hmm.
Between 24 and 25 is when I was starting to become more professional.
Okay.
Everything prior to that was a hot mess.
Okay.
I started dancing more and more and more. Grade 3,
okay,
I learned about ballet.
So were you dancing like at school, in the streets?
Streets.
Okay, yeah, a good word. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it is a very good word. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
At grade 3, someone challenged me to dancing in the washroom, the boys' washroom.
Okay.
And that's it. So I learned what that was. I was like, oh, okay, we're going to battle here. And I didn't know what the word was either.
Yeah, exactly.
We just dancing for fun. And I usually go there sometimes secretly and look at the mirror.
Yeah. Because
that's the only mirror.
Yes, of course.
And I would just pretend I'm Michael Jackson and go back to class.
Yeah.
And then grade 6, it re-emerged again. My friend Daniel, I remember him very well, and he showed me this album. And it was Dr. Dre.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
CLDRE and stuff like that.
I think it was The Chronic.
Okay.
Wow. But I didn't listen to it.
Okay.
And then there was someone else who introduced me to Bad Boy and the Family, which is the Puff Daddy album.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, what's that? And I heard I'll Be Missing You.
Mm-hmm. Wow, great song.
Because Biggie died.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That beat was a safety because my mom loved The Police, which was the original song.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So because my mom related to it, I related to it, and I traced it back to Bad Boy and the Family.
To the B.I.G.
And then we started dancing in class whenever we have a boombox playing and we just played hip-hop.
Okay.
I didn't know what that was either.
Yeah.
Because I was dancing to what I thought was hip-hop.
Okay, okay.
And I always called it rock.
Yes, okay.
But they're like, that's not rock, this is hip-hop. It's like, no, it's rock. It's what I've been listening to for a matter of years. They're like, that's called hip-hop.
Yeah.
That's when it started. Then I learned about break dancing.
Okay.
Grade 7 and 8 at...
So did you have a crew by then? Or like your friends?
I did everything. Grade 7 and 8, I went to a street and I saw a bunch of Cambodians and the boombox and the cardboard. I'm like, these are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, let's start break dancing. I'm like, what's break dancing? Oh, I learned.
Yeah.
I learned everything there is.
Wow.
Grade 7 and 8.
So they were all like new concept for you.
New concept. And I asked my first girl for a dance and got heavily rejected.
Okay.
Cried.
How did that happen? What did you say?
I didn't know what I said.
Okay.
I don't know what I was trying to say. And that was the problem. So by doing that, that crushed me. And then I looked at myself and I was like, I'm going to learn how to dance.
Yes.
So no one would say no ever.
Definitely.
Again.
Definitely.
And even though I practiced, it got to another level when I hit grade 9.
Mm-hmm.
Which is junior high.
Okay.
And then I went to another school, and this school had breakdancing and dance club.
Okay,
Time, like, and it was healthy. It was bigger. I was like, what's this? Didn't know what's going on.
Yeah. But more organized in a structure.
More organized,
yeah.
More structured.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And then one Canada Day, I walked by, and there was a dance battle in the streets.
Oh,
in Rito, which is right in front of, on top of the world, which is Third Store.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a breakdance battle. And I was like, whoa, I want to be that.
Yeah.
I want to be that cool. And obviously, being rejected by a girl, my mind is like, I want to be that cool.
You
know? Saw the battle the first time. I'm like, all right, I'm going to train myself to become better next year.
Absolutely.
And indeed, I did. There's a guy named, his last name is Cardi.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember his first name. It's been a while. He taught me how to break dance, and the break dance club came about, and then another gentleman named Paul taught me how to really break dance. I injured myself, trained my butt off, went to that street battle in Canada again, and battled.
You brought on with your own, right, or with your like crew, that, and
it was on my own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then got owned by adults.
Okay.
And they looked at me like, "You got to get off because you don't belong in this. You're a kid." You know, like okay. A lot of smack talking, mm-hmm. which is unfamiliar for me.
Yeah, definitely, exactly. So it's another world.
It's a whole nother world, and I almost nearly cried.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell myself I didn't get this far. I was 14 years old. I told myself I'm not gonna get this far, so the guy can smack me.
Exactly.
So you know what? I'm gonna come back and train harder.
Exactly.
Oh boy, did I train so hard.
It does take a lot of training.
But then it wasn't professional at that mm-hmm. point. Then I found a crew, and we start training.
Mm-hmm.
We found each other. We made websites. We were cool.
Oh wow. Okay.
My boys were getting all the girls, and I was sitting there like, I don't know how to do this, but we'll figure it out.
Definitely.
And then we did shows after shows after shows, and I became the crew member.
Okay.
And then one day I had to move.
Okay, out of town?
I had to move.
Well, from downtown, out of your neighborhood?
A new neighborhood.
Okay.
From downtown to the suburbs of Kanata, which okay. is the same house I live now.
Okay.
Which, yeah, and I was so depressed during that age,
definitely,
that I created my own dance crew, and we battled my old crew. Yeah, that oh. dance crew battled my old crew, and
oh.
we placed third out of 12 schools.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was a competition for high schools, and that made me alive again.
Oh man!
And then fast forward even
mm-hmm.
more,
mm-hmm.
that led me to meeting a young girl. Obviously, it's a girl at every school. Yep. God damn. And I followed her, and she's joined a group called Culture Shock.
Okay.
I told you this is a long story.
Mm-hmm.
So, Culture Shock is a youth outreach program where young dancers and dancers who are experienced,
okay.
who would build upon this program that goes out to poor and struggling
mm-hmm.
and hard, like a place of hardship
mm-hmm.
where they would want some mentors to teach hip hop. And that's what they do. They go
oh.
to different neighborhoods.
Oh.
They teach young kids hip hop. I'll volunteer. That's
mm-hmm.
what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then bring them to the Culture Shock program and build them from there. And
mm-hmm.
then they become healthier hip hop heads
mm-hmm.
and help and save their lives. And honestly, it saved me.
Okay.
Because I had a choice between drug dealing and being with part of a gang.
Absolutely, yeah.
And thankfully, I moved out, but I still had ties to that gang.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I was definitely was raised with some gang mentality,
mm-hmm.
prepping
mm-hmm.
to become a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
And I avoided it and found dance,
mm-hmm.
and that's what this program is all about. So they chose me.
Okay.
They found me because of the girl, the competition, chose me to go into this audition, went, and I made it.
Okay.
But I had to quit because I couldn't tell my parents that I was part of a dance program.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
My family was not definitely on board
mm-hmm.
with dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So that led to me like dancing in the streets for a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And then university hit. Then the second year.
And what did you choose in university?
Oh, business.
That's one of the worst of it too.
I didn't start with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't start with that. It was when I was in university.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about.
But you were still dancing the whole time too.
I was dancing.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
No.
I take that back. It wasn't during university. It was during high school.
Okay.
By grade 11 and 12, I learned what university and college was about.
Okay.
I didn't know what they were.
You didn't have all those ideas.
I had no idea what they were. I thought you graduate high school and you just do
and
whatever
just,
you want in life.
Basically.
Oh.
Yeah, it's another
word. I'm legit from the streets. Like, I don't know. Like, education has become so foreign.
Mm-hmm.
So after choosing architecture, which
mm-hmm.
I almost got in, I took economics and I was going to become an engineer. So
okay.
I studied all that. And I switched it up and chose business
mm-hmm.
because I ran a dance program at my high school.
Okay, of course.
And,
yeah,
and someone told me that's business.
Yeah.
And I did three courses
mm-hmm.
where they determine your career.
Mm-hmm.
You know one of those courses?
Yeah, yeah.
Those
like
tests? Those tests? Yeah, I'm rolling my eyes on those tests that tells you your career. You can be
yeah.
a doctor. I did those tests and all three of them said, you're an entrepreneur.
Okay.
I didn't know what that meant.
Okay.
I had zero idea what that word is.
But like going in all the descriptions that you gave, it seems that you already had the entrepreneur in you.
I didn't even know.
Basically.
I actually looked up in dictionary
yeah.
and it says you own a business. I'm like, what business?
What?
And I actually clicked business and it says running an establishment. I was like, what is that? I'm like, English I was very poor in English.
Yeah.
And I still am today.
Mm-hmm.
But fast forward a little bit. Second year university, I'm just studying business. Mm-hmm. And then one girl came up and was like, you dance. I was like, how do you know? It's like, I've seen you in the hallways. I've seen you in the gym.
Yeah.
I've seen you in the exercise room. You were dancing. You're mm-hmm. a dancer. Mm-hmm. Come join us. We have a group, a charity group.
Okay.
And that charity group is called CASCO, which is Commerce and Student Charity Organization.
Okay.
Which is summarized now as CASCO.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a choreographer and a part-time creative director.
Oh, wow.
On a very high-budgeted showcase from mm-hmm. $0 to raising $50,000 to $60,000.
Oh wow, that's great.
Each year, yeah. So that was my first taste.
And what was their main goal? Like the
to raise money for CHEO.
Okay. Yeah. Oh wow, that's absolutely.
So cool. I learned about the philanthropy mm-hmm. and then giving back mm-hmm. very early, and because of that, mm-hmm. I got too distracted with dance, and I was just so focused on dance. Mm-hmm. And I went battling again, dancing, and breakdancing again, mm-hmm. again. And doing shows. I got distracted. I got kicked out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that caused a real reality check. And I stopped dancing.
Okay.
And I went back looking at my mother and like, I messed up. And I'm going to stop dancing from here on.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And what was her reaction at the time?
Obviously, it was the most devastating thing. Now I wish upon no one.
Definitely, honestly. Definitely.
Yeah, so I never want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked my ass off, got back in school.
Mm-hmm.
Got back to university,
okay.
Graduated in both Carleton, Ottawa U. And
oh, wow, that's great, yeah. Man.
During that period, I got really, really mentally depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it takes toll. It's a lot to process.
It's a lot to process. I got kicked out. I thought I'm a piece of like mm-hmm. trash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worth nothing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's already getting a good government job. Mm-hmm. I'm lost. I don't know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period, my brother bought me a Toronto ticket.
Okay.
Because he knew I was going to go to Toronto and I had zero money. I mm-hmm. didn't really have a good job. I was jumping into place to place. And he bought me a ticket. I'm thankful for him. That's why mm-hmm. I should appreciate what my brother has done and mm-hmm. him as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Toronto, and I lied. I lied to a lot of people about my situation mm-hmm. in Toronto. I wanted to take a dance class.
Mm-hmm.
It was by an artist by the name of Danny Davalos.
Okay.
He is a backup dancer with my favorite musician.
Who is?
Very shame, with full shame. Sean Desmond.
Okay.
It's like, yeah.
I saw it on YouTube, I think, at some point. Yeah, yeah.
He's an old classic.
Absolutely.
Very cheesy hip hop.
Yes.
And I love it.
I saw it.
I love it.
He's really creative, though.
Sean Desmond?
Yeah. A lot of people, like, well, people can judge anything and anywhere, but yeah. I find that he has, like, his own style.
Yeah.
Basically, like, because you can see it all, like, even on YouTube, you can see it all, but. You know, having knowing a little bit about dancing and stuff like that, you can see the type of styles, basically the main styles that go around.
Yeah.
But once you see like some people that come like out of the blue, you just know it right away. And
yeah.
I feel that he's one of those. As yourself, even like from what I saw,
yeah.
You have those creativity in you, basically. I don't know if that's yeah. his inspiration that you get from him or something like that, but. It's present.
My thank you. It's from Los Angeles specifically, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. So I'll share that later.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I know it's a long story,
mm-hmm.
but it has to come to that point.
Absolutely.
I'm not even professional at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm in Toronto and I have my bags. I went to the train station and I called my friend on a very broken cell phone,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't pick up. And I ended up paying my last few dollars, took a Tim Hortons, look at the homeless man in front of me, and I don't want to give because I believe in giving,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to realize, oh man, I have nowhere to sleep. And I looked at him and I looked at myself, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm going to sleep in the streets today.
Basically.
I'm going to be you. And I did. So I did it in front of a theater.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which street it was. I just remember being in front of a theater because
mm-hmm.
I felt like it was home,
mm-hmm.
and I slept on the bench.
Wow.
So I could take a dance class the next day.
Wow.
Yeah. by 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a vibration on my phone. Luckily, on a 1% battery, mm-hmm. and my friend thought I was joking, and found me around 3 to 4, and then went home.
Wow.
And then slept. I was mentally and emotionally ready to sleep in the streets.
Definitely, dance definitely. Class.
That's that moment on is yeah. when I knew I loved dance.
Definitely.
Above everything else.
Definitely.
So, fast forward even more. Once I graduated, I took every dance class, dance projects, and I ended up taking every contract because I was making so much noise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was a business student, and I'm a loud mouth. And
absolutely.
I kept taking one job after another, one mm-hmm. job after another. And one of the first jobs was Escapade Music Festival.
Okay.
Where I started.
What year was it?
This, I don't remember. probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, that year, Avicii and Afrojack and Alesso and all these amazing DJs, Data Life
mm-hmm.
is where, and all of us were dancing for. So, rest in peace Avicii, but that was the greatest moment for most of us. And that was my high moment, and I kept climbing. So that's when mm-hmm. I started to dance professionally.
Okay,
that's the story on that one. Yeah.
That's great, man.
And that lasted all the way to about 24, 25 years old. Wait, I'm 32,
mm-hmm.
so it should be 23, 24.
That you started like really.
Yeah, yeah.
And from there, that's where you start, I guess, like taking all those serious classes, and so you had in mind where you want to get, like, I guess, from there on, I guess.
Yeah, if I slept in the streets for it, I'm definitely not. I have a bed this time. I'm mm-hmm. taking every class possible.
Exactly.
Ballroom classes, Latin classes, hip hop classes, lyrical classes, contemporary classes. I took every class.
So yeah. when did the teaching part start?
It started during that same time frame.
Okay.
But it didn't pick up until I was 20. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this time frame was. Mm-hmm. I probably would say 10. About approximately 10-9 years ago.
So was it here in Ottawa?
Yeah, it was the same studio I'm with right now.
Oh wow, great.
I was just taking a lot of dance classes mm-hmm. and I was just like hanging out with their workshops once in a blue moon.
Okay.
And then one day they couldn't find a substitute. They're like, Brian, do you want to teach?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I want to
teach. Okay.
That became one.
So did class. It come naturally
no,
that you were just
trash.
Okay?
I was trash. I
because
was
teaching,
I have it's much appreciation to both Michael, who's the owner, mm-hmm. and Gabe. So they're the one who actually put me up
mm-hmm.
and built me the person I am as a teacher. And mm-hmm. that went from one class to two class, and now I'm running 14 classes.
Wow.
A week. Yeah.
Exactly.
Fully nearly sold out. Like most of them are sold out and there's a waiting list still.
That's great, man.
I still get calls from parents. It's like, I can't get my kid in. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
On the 14th hour.
Yeah, my friends still messaging me. She's like, I can't get the kid in. It's been a year and something. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I built it up so much mm-hmm. and I'm so happy.
Wow. So would you say that it's one of the achievements that you're most proud of, or what are the achievements that you're most proud of, if you would have to say?
The most proud achievements in career
in general,
dance or in general?
In general.
Is when I learned to, for lack of a word, shut the flip up and realize that family, friends, and humbleness is the most important thing of my life, which was probably, I would say, a good the last 5 to 6, 7. Yeah, probably gets between 5, 6, 7 years of progress on that. Yeah, I think that was the proudest moment of my life.
Okay.
Yeah, because my time frame is blurred because mm-hmm. that lifespan was trash.
Mm-hmm.
I was the worst garbage person of my entire life. Let me tell you that. And I think it's the moment when I lost everyone
mm-hmm.
and lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the moment when I realized, like, I am not the person that I claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I climbed out of it and I see my friends want to be with me again.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my family loving me again.
Absolutely.
and more positive energy has been coming back to my life. So I think that was the proudest and the highest moment of my life.
Absolutely. Because so, I saw that you talk a lot, not about happiness, as you mentioned earlier, yeah, but more about good vibes, as you just said. That
I was a horror.
And that's the first thing that I even saw on your, and probably a lot of people in Ottawa, that's what they see first about you, is that the smile, the laughing, the, you know, cheering up, even the videos and the vlogs that you do, it's what is there.
Like, yeah, thank you.
And it's great because, you know, even more so in winter, that's what you want to see.
You want to see
people with the smiles, you want to see people even joking with the you know, with this much snow and all of that.
And you need a little distraction.
Exactly.
A little laughter. So I'm glad I'm able to do that, man. Thank you.
And it's great. What would you say is the lesson that you struggle most learning, if you any lesson?
Asking for help.
Okay.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's a good one. That was very quick for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to learn how to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised with the nurture of a street gang mindset, mm-hmm, and an army mindset, that you don't talk to anyone, mm-hmm, about your problems. Mm-hmm. You don't.
Your strength and
you don't share any information with anyone, because that's information that people can kill you with.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't say anything about your salary, your work, mm-hmm, where you work, what your time frame is. You are you. You do your job, mm-hmm, and those who are important will stick around. That's it.
That's it.
That was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That
definitely
was wrong.
I
kept so much in.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many bad things happen to my own eyes, even though there are far worse things you could see. But tasting it, a little bit of it, I just kept it by myself, and I knew more than most people think. Mm-hmm. I do, and I don't share it, and people think I'm lying, which is a struggling. So I never actually shared it.
Mm-hmm.
I never actually opened up, mm-hmm, and I never actually decided to ask for help. So that's probably the hardest thing that I've learned.
So did it help in a way, dealing with the children that you were helping and the?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because it's okay to cry. It's okay to crash. Like, I'll be honest. There was a day that there was one day I did, out of no control, mm-hmm, cried in class because my body couldn't take too much.
Exactly.
I was just listening to a very sad song,
mm-hmm,
and I think I was going through like a very hard, big heartbreak,
mm-hmm,
as usual. Mm-hmm. There's a story behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Walked into class and heard a very epically sad song. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I chose that song, and teared up. I had zero control.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the kids like, look, it's okay to break down.
Absolutely.
And ask for help, and I'm asking you to help me stand up.
Absolutely.
So let's get up.
That's
yeah.
beautiful.
So yeah, asking for help,
mm-hmm,
that's the most important thing. Just don't be ashamed.
Absolutely.
Everyone's not, no one's perfect, and then you need help, just ask for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things with mental health in general. People feel that, even more so the guys, I feel that most of the time the guys, we feel that we need to keep everything because we are so strong.
Absolutely.
Because it's a, in a way, it's a how culture or society kind of portray the man, the masculinity, yeah, and all of that.
You should be rock.
Exactly. You should be always strong. You shouldn't show your emotions. You shouldn't show that you're tired, even basically.
Yeah.
You know, all those small stuff that at some point they take toll in you, that, and you just wait.
Exactly.
And some people, like, I heard like some stories that you'd be just devastated,
yeah,
because people just keeping so many stuff in them that at some point when they break down,
break
like
hard.
They break so hard that they cannot even recover from that.
Yeah.
And the more I feel that we talk about those stuff, the more I feel that people are going to be aware even of their selves, of
yeah,
their mental state,
yeah,
or of how they feel, or if they need to express it. And that's when even family, friends, and people around you, because we're, as I say always, we're a social species. We
yes.
need to be around people. And it's one of the ideas of this podcast, is that to reconnect people,
yeah,
to reconnect the whole community,
yeah,
and
yeah,
leave us so. And
amazing.
Which is best for everyone. Like,
yes,
if you are able to express your ideas, if you're able to express even your feelings and all of that. And I feel that we can all learn from it. And
yeah.
And I'm so grateful also that you went on those points and just shed light on that. And what about spirituality or religion? Do you have...
I do. I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
Partially Buddhism.
Okay.
Because of my mother. Mm-hmm. And then confused. And then learned about Hinduism, mm-hmm. because it's a branch of Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And then I learned about Baha'i, okay. which is encompassing all religions. Mm-hmm. I remember fasting with my Muslim friends, mm-hmm. and learning about the scripts of the
Sufism and stuff like that.
And I was confused. Mm-hmm. At the end, I just learned that there is some sense of spirituality and faith. How do I define myself? Mm-hmm. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. Do I have some spiritual belief? Mm-hmm. I do.
Absolutely.
I do. I do. I believe there is a greater force that's actually controlling, mm-hmm. not so much controlling, but like feeding the energy waves
absolutely.
One form to another. Mm-hmm. I believe in karma, mm-hmm. and I strictly believe that it's a sign when one thing doesn't work out versus the other.
Absolutely.
And when bad thing happens to me, there's always a reason.
Absolutely.
Or it is a reflection of a direction I should not go.
Absolutely.
So I truly believe in that. Mm-hmm. But how to define it, I do not know.
Absolutely.
But I mm-hmm. do have a spiritual belief. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And I feel that that basically spirituality for me, it's not, you know, like pertaining in a certain group or stuff like that,
right.
but more so as you just explained how you implement it.
Yes.
And what you just explained, even the whole history of, you know, getting into dance and stuff like that,
right.
you can see a lot of, you know, as they use the patterns of, you know, learning from all those struggles, because you explained like a lot of struggles and stuff like that, and I feel that you learn a lot of part of it, and you actually give back to the community from whatever you live through, and I feel that the whole community should actually thank you for that service that you're still doing. Literally, it's not just because you're here, but I feel that sharing these, actually, this is what these generations need more and more.
Yeah,
they need people to inspire them, to show them, you know, even more so people who lived it, not just people who just talk about stories and stuff like that, but people who actually lived it should be there to tell these young people, you know, okay, this seems great, this seems cool, and stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
But I wouldn't rather not do this. I would rather do this and that. And those are just, you know, you sparing them of the whole thing. That's what a lot of people don't understand sometimes. I'm like, you know, that when you exchange or when you share your ideas to the people that are younger than you, or some even people that are older than you, that you're helping them kind of skipping a whole part of struggle that they might get into, because that's called experience.
Right.
And that's why this is called My Village Experience.
Oh, wow.
Because the whole idea is that you are actually helping with the little experience that you have of life.
Yeah.
And I feel that it's great, man.
Oh, man. No, thank you, man. I don't feel it. There are times I don't feel like it, because I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I could feel that. I wish I could. I'll tell you something. Words of affirmation is five love language, right? Mm-hmm. Based on this book, and I think people my age really follow that five love language. But one of them seems to be words of affirmation, which is telling you're doing a good job or you're amazing, like yeah, really appreciative. I'm gonna, like, vulnerably say it out loud that, like, maybe I just haven't received it. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it means a lot for you to say that to me. And if I'm doing a good job and you're saying it, honestly, it means truly a lot. And that's what happened with auto-tourism, when they gave me the guy for a dance, which was such...
That was a big deal.
It was, I didn't know what to do with it. I'm still having a hard time believing
it.
But like, after growing up 32 years and not really receiving the affirmation of being a dancer, you could just,
it's a big milestone.
It's a very big milestone. And I'm still trying to take it in. I want to take it in, but I hope that people who are listening to this is that to understand that the five love language is very important. Because then someone who grows up could actually be fully loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm given love by multiple levels of people. Mm-hmm. And I just can't appreciate it in the level that I should. Mm-hmm. Because I've been damaged, which sucks. But I understand it. So as long as people like yourself are coming around and just reaching out, just keep doing it, it will hit. But that's my biggest vulnerable self right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So one of the last points.
Wow.
About social issues right now, right from the top, if you would have to pick a social issue that is there to
you. Like you're talking about like news, like social issues, a world war.
Any social issue.
That's, oh man, that's, this is a big one. This is a big can. I can't narrow it down to one.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many things that hits me.
Mm-hmm.
At home means a lot, and I try to lend a hand as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
First off is refugee camps.
Mm-hmm.
My father is a refugee.
Okay.
So the Syrian refugee was something so important.
Okay.
And I remember teaching a dance class for Syrian refugees. Mm-hmm. And that hit too much at home, and I couldn't take it.
Absolutely.
But I would love to do it again.
Absolutely.
Because my gosh, it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
I remember helping out Syrians for bank accounts.
Okay.
And I learned a little bit of Arabic, a little mm-hmm. bit. No one knows that. I just said little keywords in Arabic, and then they're like, "Oh my gosh!" It's like, "Yeah, you're home. You're home.
Yeah,
you're home."
Definitely.
Like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So refugees, one, women's rights,
mm-hmm.
empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's weird coming from me, because a man doesn't think, well,
yeah.
You know what, this is 2019.
Exactly, it's not.
We're about this life, man. I
exactly.
don't know what that mindset came from, but
mm-hmm.
people should appreciate women
mm-hmm.
for what they do, and I always believe in women power, women
absolutely.
Entrepreneurship, women intelligence,
mm-hmm.
and I always will always compliment and remind women of their power
absolutely.
Beyond their looks.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there's like women's abuse or women's shelters, I am 100% in.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a lot. And obviously, I think one other social issues would be would be homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that is a huge mental... Oh, that's another one too,
mm-hmm.
mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a master of it. I'm not an answer for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that... I have been approached as a possible light for them, which is a lot for me to take in. Because of dance, I have privately taught kids with ADHD,
mm-hmm.
Social anxiety,
mm-hmm.
mental conditions, and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they just look to me as a savior for them,
absolutely.
As an answer.
Absolutely.
Maybe savior is not a good word,
mm-hmm.
but like they. It's a lot to take in for me, and I value it a lot, even though I don't
absolutely.
Understand it, and I want to understand, so
mm-hmm.
it's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, summarize it will be mental health / homelessness,
mm-hmm.
women's rights, women power, empowerment, and definitely refugee. So, those
wow.
are three for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. And what about one event? If you would, in all the events that happen in your life, which are a lot probably, which event would you say had the biggest impact in your life or changed it, like, in a way?
Gosh, because each and every event matters.
Definitely.
The biggest one that would go click
mm-hmm.
for me, I know what went click for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah.
When was it?
Last year.
Okay.
I was... Being a creator in Ottawa is tough.
Mm-hmm.
People say there's no creators in Ottawa. Okay. No, there's creators in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I'm also going to carefully say this.
Mm-hmm.
It is the level and the tier of of how people think as a creator here is, I feel, is limited.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa needs to look beyond Ottawa mindset,
absolutely.
Which is what I conclude. And I'm not a product of that success, but I understand that would take to that level of success. Los Angeles slapped every like misconception, every assumption, every idea that I thought would be the solution to my success. LA legit made it a joke in my mind and crushed it and came back to me saying, Brian, you're now in this place where the world follows. You should pay attention, open your ears, and switch your game up because you're no longer in Ottawa. You're in the world's hub. So that slapped me across the face, and I learned so fast, and I learned so much. And I
so what happened, if you can? Really?
Man!
Or in what you can say about
I'm happened. Very observant. So going back, so I was raised in an army mindset too, right? And also a gang mindset. So everywhere I walk in, I've always like to observe, whether it be who's in a chair, where's the nearest exit, where's the second exit, where is the person in front of that door, what is the require? Like, this is what goes through my head. Don't know why I was raised like this. What, even from his weight class, to see whether he's running, whether he's injured, I will find out during that sit. Being that observant, or at least for me, that level of observance, I went to LA and observed people taking their camera out and documenting everything like a vlog, and document everything like a program, and went out and had no care in the world and started skateboarding, wore dreads, had tattoos, and talked about their arts like it's their life, because it is their life. Absolutely. I remember talking to someone who's like, oh, you're a dancer, are you with this agency, that agency, are you going to this audition? I was so confused. I didn't think that was so normal to talk about. And then I looked at the end product of my friends when they came home. I was like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm shooting for Adidas.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're shooting, are you the cameraman? It's like, Brian, I'm the producer, director. I'm like, wait, what? Which means the commercial you see from Adidas, he's the reason why that exists.
Okay.
He
wow
is make me realize what potential that is. And from that shoot to the day, the moment I came back, the video was done.
Wow.
Okay. There's videographers and editors that said it would take them a week to 2 weeks. This damn big company got it done. Okay. By the time I got back a week later,
definitely
watching. Wow. Okay. So I learned about speed.
Yes.
I learned about efficiency and
high performance.
People, well, high performance. People say, oh, they have the money for it. No.
No.
No, the talent is still the same talent. Absolutely. You still have the same computer. Mm-hmm. You still have the same videos. Either you work well or you poor. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, or you're a poor worker. Like, that's what I've learned. Mm-hmm. And I took it and went here, and I just became more efficient, more focused. And obviously, when my friends and family tell me to focus on certain aspects of things, I became more and more laser focused on my career. And LA changed me, and I ran so fast.
No.
I ran so fast to a point that now I could not take the energy of that again because I'm in Ottawa.
Exactly.
No one's running that fast.
That fast, definitely no.
And then I met some people who did run that fast and they grew really fast. That's L Mills and Joey Kidney, which is YouTubers. And my friend, it's your boy, who's now a big YouTubers. And then my friend Maurice Moore, who became a very notable writer.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah. He's really good.
So we are our own influencers. But there's only a handful of us. There's only like 10 of us.
Absolutely.
We're in LA.
It's every second the whole person, population, basically.
The whole population. So you're always on fire. And obviously, it looks. That's why I was so lit up by it for that one trip. So LA was the dumbest trip I've done, and it was the best trip I've done.
And what do you think could change that in Ottawa? What
for me to stay? Yeah, because Australia was the second trip that made me realize even more. I believe that as an assumption when I went to LA, that you have to stay to build, and then you by creating and then build and create and build and create, and it becomes
okay.
Now, in Ottawa, people become good and become the greatest and leave.
Absolutely.
There's no chance to build upon that.
Okay.
That's why Ottawa has never been an artistic city. This is my assumptions. This is what I like to believe. And I went to Australia, and I truly believe that when I saw people that just didn't leave, and they stayed, and they just built.
And that's what create a hub, basically.
Yeah.
You cannot create from out of thin air.
Exactly. And LA, and what happens is that the world will come to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you build, you create. That's true. And I learned that very late. I learned that so late. And guess what? There's only so few of us that stayed in Ottawa.
Absolutely.
We are building the community. There's an educational structure now, amazing. You want to find a job in dance, and you want to find dance within schools, big structure happening right now.
Okay.
You want to find dance studios, tons of dance studios happening right now. I'm assisting the aspect of commercial dance, which is a very sensitive topic because it's diluting the culture of what the dance and the authentic aspect of dance, but in order to make money, you have to dilute it in a sense for people to understand it.
Yes.
So I find I'll get balance between the two. I always consult and make sure I'm good, but I get paid, and so are the people that work around with me.
Absolutely.
And so are the people who are doing the educational side and the studio side. I focus on the commercial. Together, three of that pillar, we build this dance.
Wow.
If we just stayed in just another 5 years and we just work together, it's just going to be the biggest thing ever.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I feel that that's the way to go. That you need people like you actually who thinks literally that you need to stay where you were, where you can grow basically. And once, like, you know, like the pioneer does it and do it, that's how it goes, that the new or the next generation can start to be, okay, can so we can do it here.
Absolutely.
We can do it anywhere.
Absolutely.
And that's
I believe in that.
Absolutely.
And some people are learning that about where I came from. By the year 2003, 2007 was the best years of dance. You Got Served, the movie came out. And Battle of the Year was a hip-hop dance competition around the world in 1999 and 2000. Got more famous in 2001. And lift off from there, breakdance crews, dance crews, dance classes were on fire during that period. And so you think your dance became a thing, and so you think your dance, Canada became a
thing.
And
all those movies too,
it just,
that came out
and then it just blew the community up, and there were crews on crews on crews in Ottawa. Commercialism is my assumption. I believe that killed dance in Ottawa.
I think
because once money is involved, crew got fights, people got sour taste, they don't believe themselves.
Creativity
anymore.
Is not the same anymore.
Creativity is, no, it's all about just money. And what happens that now my friend and I can't even name one crew that has, we're having a hard time naming crews with 10 members.
Because it explodes to another and to another and so on.
Yeah, so now there's only one crew in Ottawa. No, take this back. Two notable crews within my circles that I know.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. Breadcrumbs. Made that three. Breadcrumbs, B-Boyism, and PNL.
Okay.
Those are already three. To me, before I used to be 20, 30, you could count so many. Now you're down to three. That was the only one. Yeah. So I someone has to stay and build. And guess what? My friends and I, who are the last of the few old generations, we're building.
So and you're still here.
And that's why LA changed me.
Yeah.
That's,
wow. This is great, man.
Whoa, eh?
Wow. So much to take in today.
I am so sorry.
And no, I'm really grateful for that, man. Because I like myself, I learned a lot, and I'm sure a lot of people are gonna come back about this and make a lot of noise about this. And this is the idea of this all. How can people learn more about you and your the classes that you're giving? Do you have websites? Apart from the startup dance, I think.
That was way back, though.
That's on YouTube.
That I deleted.
Okay.
That was a project turned disaster, turned heaven in disguise. I would say heaven in disguise. It's a blessing in disguise. Turned trash again. I put it to rest because it was during the period of my worst years. So even though it gave me some opportunities, it's given me some negative energy, so okay. I turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, Startup Dance is a hub
mm-hmm.
where they will learn everything about the dance community here in Ottawa.
Okay.
You can find everything.
Okay.
But now, people have could find me as a person, which mm-hmm. I'd rather have. My name is Brian Tong. You mm-hmm. can find me as What's Good B Tong.
Mm-hmm.
And my video production that I grew into is now called Studio 79E, which is a reflection of the address and number of my old house that I grew up with.
Oh, wow.
Where I saw the Michael Jackson video, the breakdance in the nice. Gang. That's so I got to bring it back home and be humble where I mm-hmm. came from. So that's why it's called Studio 79E, where I lived.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in this great note, thank you very much, man.
My man.
Thank you very much. Super happy for this.
Thank you for listening. Please share, subscribe, and review. Also, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And until next time, never forget, you're as unique as the universe. Peace be with you.